Greetings and welcome to Catholic Ordinary Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies, theological reflections, and occasional talks by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Teresa Plain, chaplain of the Catholic community. It is the 24th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle B.
Father Leo Hofsti. He's a bit of a legend in the Western Dominican province, the province of Dominicans in which Father Nathan and I are sons of. Father Leo Hofsti, a bit of a legend. But I'll tell you why he's legendary in a moment, but let me tell you about what happened before he was supposedly canonized in a kind of pop sort of way. He was a man that was difficult to live with. He was opinionated, strong-minded, stubborn. He had his opinions of how to interact with the laity and with his family. He was known to have more intelligence than prudence, more knowledge than charity. He had his opinions on how the liturgy ought to be celebrated, and he was pretty open and pretty blunt about it. In other words, he was a typical Dominican. He was difficult to live with, and he was famed throughout the Dominican world on how brash and how rude he was to virtually anybody. No one in the province wanted to live with this guy. So in the year 1940, out of desperation, out of pure desperation, sort of like the last play in last night's game, the provincial sent him away to the Philippines. It's not that bad of a place. I was just there last year. But he was sent to the Philippines, in Tala. In Tala in the Philippines, which is at the time, it was at the time, a leprosarium. It was a leper colony, like a modern-day Father Damien. It was a land of squalor. It was a place where you were sent to see yourself disintegrate and finally die. And this was Father Leo's assignment. Now, Father Leo, when he came to the Philippines, when he found Tala, he ended up staying. He saw the desperation in the eyes of his people, and he decided to stay. He set up a school. He dispensed the sacraments. He learned how the lepers lived and how they died. He built a community. He showed the lepers the face of Christ. Now, prudence and contemporary and secular wisdom would say that he should have stayed back, that he should have stayed within California, that he should have stayed in the United States. Reason states that he should have disobeyed his superior and just not go. But as Isaiah states in today's first reading, he set his face like flint. He knew his penance, his trial, his cross, and he accepted it. He knew how heavy it was, and he accepted it. He knew the weight of his exile, and he accepted it. Like the suffering servant of today's first reading, Leo set his face like flint and did not hide his face from buffets or from spitting, and he allowed his beard to be plucked. He knew his trial, and he accepted it. In the 1980s, Father Leo ended up dying in Tala, a colony that is still filled with lepers till this day, but is known as a very joyful place, a place where lepers can raise their families. And the Filipino province, in their own wisdom, has sponsored Leo's cause for his own canonization. And according to the lepers, Leo died a peaceful, joyful, converted, happy man. As he meditated upon the mysteries of the suffering servant, may we one day be able to accept the weight of our own cross. So my friends, as we continue to meditate upon today's readings, I invite Teresa to the fore.
You are the Messiah. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Surely this was God's son. And then they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are we who are called to his supper. These are all revelations of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Mary, begging the question, who do you say that I am? Mark's gospel, if you read it cover to cover, is amazing on how many healings Jesus is put right in front of the people who are suffering, and he has compassion on them and heals them. And by this point in the gospel, he had healed many sick. He had given speech and sight and hearing back to those who had lost it. And he had commanded demons to flee from the possessed. He had the crowds with him. They were on his side. They were ready to crown him as a king, to make him their Messiah, the one who would restore the rule to Israel. And instead of going down that path, he turned his steps toward Jerusalem. He knew his future was different than what they imagined for him. And only a few stumbled along with him. The rest went away. They went away disappointed or unfulfilled or possibly angry enough to plot against him later. But we know from the gospel account of today that Peter stayed. So when Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? Peter, who was not known for shyness, spoke up and said, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. Doesn't say he hesitated, doesn't say he thought about it. It just came out. Peter knew Jesus. He believed in Jesus. He had left his family and his livelihood behind to follow Jesus. There was nowhere else for him to go. And Peter knew Jesus well enough to name him. You are the Christ. You are not Elijah or John the Baptist or another prophet. You are the true Son of God. So Peter answered the question correctly. Unfortunately, Peter didn't know what to do with his answer. For naming Jesus is one very important thing, and knowing what to do with it is another. We are called to ponder upon that question, to pray about it all of our lives. And whether we recognize him in the breaking of the bread or as the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of all the world, that is critically important to the work of the kingdom. Think for a minute of crusades, ancient and modern, who proudly carry the banner of Jesus as they murder and plunder in the name of religion. They've named Jesus as something besides the Christ. Think of the times that Jesus, especially this year, is used in politics to sell candidates or ideals, or economic apartheid. Think of the times that Jesus is used as an excuse for treating those who are different with disdain and discrimination, both inside and outside of religious institutions. Who do we say that Jesus is? And more importantly, what will we do when we answer that question? For it seems from Jesus' reaction to Peter, spoken acclamation is not enough. In the letter that we heard proclaimed today from James, lip service is not the answer. Jesus speaks of sharing a cross, of losing one's life. And even that isn't a full picture of what we're asked to do, because the Greek translation of life, if we go back to that, it makes this passage even more poignant. The translation is closer to being or psyche. It's your entire essence. To lose that is to lose not only your physical life, but any life that you would have beyond this world. You would be utterly and totally lost. I'm puzzled by this command of Jesus, actually, because Jesus seems to abhor violence. I don't think Jesus was unrealistic in seeing the possibility of a violent death. He may even have known exactly what kind of death he was going to. Some of the disciples would have been caught up in this. But for Jesus, I don't think Jesus is advocating martyrdom. It doesn't seem to refer to physical death. And so I wonder if this passage means more about living one's life. Living it in such a way as to gradually give it over as a gift. Little by little, giving it away. As a story that Father Isaiah taught about the Dominican that went and gave his life to the leper colony. Can we walk in Jesus' path? Can we open our hearts wide enough to have them broken? Can we touch others' lives closely enough to suffer with them, to accompany them through trials, to carry their cross with them? Can we love beyond measure, with hearts broken open, with tears in our eyes, with kindness on our lips, and with arms open wide? Who do we say that Jesus is? And what will we do with it? Some of you in this community know two recent grad students. Tom and Jenny were a big part of this community. And as I was reflecting on these readings, Jenny sent a YouTube clip. She's featured in a clip by the Salk Institute, where she now works. So there is jobs beyond graduate school. Tom got one too. They got these wonderful jobs. They were very excited. They're located to Southern California. They got engaged. And then at the age of 33, Jenny came down with breast cancer. And it was a bad cancer. And those of us who knew her throughout that time of trial wondered, I think privately, if she was going to make it. At their wedding, There, no one was able to keep a dry eye. They knew she had cancer at that point. Tom knew what he was walking into. His parents, as he walked him down the aisle, were happy, but yet serious. This was not just a love story that was going to end up with a lovely honeymoon. They didn't have time for that because she entered chemo a week and a half after the wedding. This was a fight that they were going to have to do together. And that YouTube clip for this science institute has pictures of their wedding, has pictures of their family, has pictures of her husband. And she stands there and says, I was this independent woman. I was a scientist. I was a PhD. I knew everything. I could do everything. That went away very quickly. She rolls her eyes, like most of us who know her will do. And she says, well, that went away very quickly because you can't walk through these things by yourself. Her husband, her family, her church became Jesus Christ and gave her life. I am happy to say that after a very long, terrible struggle, the cancer is in remission. And it seems like she'll be okay. She said in the clip that one of the best things she could do was to work in science so that others could be healed. She said, there's nothing better in life that I could possibly do. That gift, that presence of Christ, that taking on that journey with another person, I am grateful for. I'm grateful to all the graduate students who spend many, many lonely hours in labs hoping and praying that their work will make a difference. Who do you say that Jesus is? Keep praying about that question. Keep praying it as your lives change, because the answer this afternoon will be different from the answer you give tomorrow, the answer that you give in 5 years, the answer that you give in middle age or closer to the end of your life. Think about that, pray about it, and also wonder about what you will do with the answer you give. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. Producer Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, guitar pianist Albert Tommaso, and percussionist Shane Clarkson. For more information, visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union. For Father Isaiah M. Milano, OP, this is Eunsoo Choi. God bless you.